We're gonna start. So I think I let you intro. I made you intro last time, so I'll intro this time.
You make me intro every time.
Do you want? Yeah, it freaks the people out. Who's that man? Who's that man with? There's a man with eyes. What's going on? No, I don't think so. Okay.
So I'm Reggie.
This is Reggie, and who am I today? Oh, I'm ISO Ellen. That's who I am today. I'm sorry. I'm taking a moment. It's been a morning.
And
And
who
who do
are
we
we
have with us?
interviewing?
Yeah. Who are we interviewing? Is there somebody here? Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Gliza from Classical Adventures for One. I have a podcast where I read classic works dramatically and also discuss those works, sharing little tidbits, little trivias that I find interesting to share with my listeners. So it's a little passion project that I love. It's a very niche passion project, but I absolutely adore working on it. And every single listen that I get is just, for me, is an amazing thing because I know how not many people like classic books, so the fact that I get any listens at all is always great.
I like classic books. I do. I
True.
do.
Well, I was one of those people that didn't like classic books, and then the pandemic happened, and I was just like, there's a lot of books that I should be reading. I can't call myself a reader if I don't read classic books. So I, like, I'm trying to
One,
go one
there
book
you
at a
go.
time.
Yeah, there's
And you have
so
a
many
great
books.
voice for it, so.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I think it's just the mic and the editing, but you know.
Oh,
Editing
no.
always helps.
What,
That's
editing?
true.
I don't edit. That's what Reggie's for.
It's what I've been enlisted into.
That's why I've asked Reggie to co-host. It's really about the editing. It's nothing else.
He's good at it.
Oh
So, you
He's good
know,
at
I'm simping
it.
hard.
He's good at it. Oh, no. You got to explain. What does that mean? I remember how
Nope,
old.
that's for the other show.
Is that for the other show? Okay. Okay, guys, I'm so glad you're here. That's what books have you read so far? I still haven't. I need to put your podcast on, but the problem is the wonderful thing about the classic books is it's very relaxing for me. And I make it about, oh, 5 minutes. If I'm not up and active and like doing like listening, like I would an audiobook, like putting away laundry or cleaning or moving, yeah, I'm gone. It's very relaxing for me, and I get caught up in the story, and I'm just like on waves of sleepy bliss. And so, I haven't been proactive enough to, you know, like, oh, hey, I need to clean my room and I could listen to. But so, what books have you done? Tell the audience what books you have done so far.
Well, it's only been season one. I just started in September, so each
I
season
know.
consists of one book. So,
One book. Well, yeah,
so
because
far,
classics.
yeah, it's only been Alice in Wonderland. I'm actually nearing my finale in February 24. So I'm actually really excited for that because I'm finally going to end my first season ever. And it's only going to be it's exciting because I feel like before I started with this podcast, I knew nothing like about Alice in Wonderland. Just like the little, tidbits that
I was going to ask, what
pop
have you
culture.
discovered? You know, what
I
have you?
just
I thought. And the Alice in Wonderland with annotations that had like the historical annotations. I have this
Right.
big book that I've just loved, and I haven't really delved in it, but that has been fascinating. So what have you discovered about the Lewis Carroll and Alice in Wonderland that you did not know going in? Just
Well,
one thing, because there must be 20, you know.
there's so many. The very, very first thing I knew, because this is how I knew nothing about Alice in Wonderland. The very first thing that I found out was that's not even his real name. Lewis Carroll is not his real name. It's Charles Ludwig Dodson. And I've always been like, that's impressive to me that I went all this time not knowing that that's a thing. I thought his real name was Lewis Carroll. That's one of the things that I like. That's how I knew very little coming into this. And that's basically my personal goal when it comes to this podcast. I want to discover things that I didn't know at all. And it's been such a journey for me, from knowing literally nothing to becoming somewhat of an armchair expert. I wouldn't say I'm like an expert in Alice in Wonderland, but you can drop me now in Alice in Wonderland and I'd be like, oh yeah, that was that's that and that's that. And I understand that kind of thing, because I've spent like basically since September just reading about Alice in Wonderland, studying about Alice in Wonderland, going through the books, going through history that I can find online. And now, you know, I feel really comfortable telling people that, you know, that's not what Alice is about, or that's not what, you know, what Lewis Carroll thinks, that kind of thing.
Do you have a favorite version of Alice?
My favorite version of Alice in Wonderland probably has to be the nursery Alice. That's the Alice in Wonderland. It's called the nursery Alice because it's meant to be read to 0 to like 5 years old. And it's a nice little short version of the book, and it's meant to be read to children. And I love it because it looks so pretty. The artwork is the same, but it's colored, and it's a lot simpler for children to get into. And that personally for me is my favorite version of Alice in Wonderland in written anyway. But there's actually three official sort of Alice in Wonderland. It's the original manuscript, the Alice's Adventures Underground, and then Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Nursery Alice. Those are the three versions.
Do you have that copy? That sounds just amazing.
I have it. I have the Nursery Alice, and I have the original Alice. Well, not the original, like the copy of the Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. I have that. I don't have the original manuscript because it's really printed. But I have read it. I have read it.
Which would be neat. I would love to see his handwriting and some of the work and the. Oh man, if you could get the letters between him and the illustrator, you know, just the different things. There's stuff there I would love to see.
It's actually on, I believe, I have it in one of my show notes where you can see the scanned copy of the Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. It's one of my show notes. And if you guys want, I can send you the link later. It's really pretty to see, because you can see his actual drawings, because at first he didn't hire anybody to draw.
I know, and they were terrible.
They were terrible, but like you can see that, you know, it's impressive for a first time person. Like it's a lot better than I could ever attempt. but it's not that great. It's not meant for like publishing for everyone.
There's just so much that in that history and about who he was as a person, and then his interactions with his fascination with Alice, you know, his particular Alice, and there's just, I could get lost. It is one of my favorite reading it. I got more out of it than anything else, but it is one of my favorite stories and it's so classically English, a little bit scary, a little bit edgy.
it's actually funny. Like for me, reading so I'm a horror baby. That means I don't like horror, because like every little thing about horror just freaks me out. When I first saw the Disney movie, I didn't even see the whole thing. I just like sort of glanced at it. And the only scene that I remember was the Queen of Hearts and Alice becoming smaller and the Queen of Hearts was going off with her head. And that terrified me as a child to the point that I never wanted to touch any Alice books or watch any movies. It was terrifying.
That whole movie had a lot of horrifying aspects.
Horrifying. Well, yes. It was horrifying. But when I read the book, I was like, this is actually not as scary as I thought it would be. I mean, maybe because I was reading it as an adult, but it was actually a lot more fun. They're more of an annoyance to Alice than actually a danger to Alice, which is
she handles everything very clear. Did you hear that? I've got a call. She handles everything very calmly. And but there were things in there that still freaked me out. Just her, you know, the growing big and getting small.
Right.
There were things, but I didn't read it as an adult until adult either, but there's still a strangeness there. There's still
it's still like a dreamy sort of thing. But what I got from that was like, it's like, I didn't realize I would be a Queen of Hearts stan until I read the book, because now I'm like, whenever I watch, because for me, my interpretation of the Queen of Hearts is that she's just this silly, easily angry lady that, you know, but still all of her people love her. That's what I feel when I read the books, because she's just going around going, off with your head, off with your head, off with your head.
I'll admit, you do seem like a Queen of Hearts.
And the king is like, no, not off with your head. I pardon you. And everybody's just like letting it happen. So nobody's actually killed in the book. Nobody's actually like, it's not scary at all. And the king is actually like, for me, the king is actually really, and it's, they're treating her as this kooky, you know, monarch that they're just like, every little thing is like, off with your head, off with your head. And for me, that's just, I don't know. That's endearing to me. I find it endearing. But in the movies, she was portrayed as this scary person. And in Tim Burton movies that I watched recently, she was just this scary person until the very end.
Recently watched the Tim Burton one.
I did, for the first time ever. It was slightly frustrating, to say the least. But I, like I said, I didn't realize I would be a Queen of Hearts stan until I read the book, because I love the Queen of Hearts. She's just this funny, kooky queen.
Yeah. I can't remember. There's a really great Impossible Things. I accomplished 10 impossible six. Things before breakfast, or 6 impossible things. But, and that was one of the queens. Was that the Red Queen or the White Queen? I can't remember which one it was, but they're, and
it's
the little,
I think it's the Red Queen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It, yeah, you're right. That it is an adventure. It is a great book. So yeah, very much so. Yeah. I could talk about that all day long. You're working on other projects too, on top of, you know, I see you on Twitter. You're like, I'm going to try this out and I'm going to try. So what are you?
Honestly, I'm just, I have a weird, not really a weird problem, but I don't like not doing anything. I think I have ADHD where I hyper focus on something. And then if that's not enough, I go look for something else. Currently, I'm trying to, I don't want to say get my Twitch stream live or whatever, because I'm not, I don't. It's going to be an attachment to just my podcast. It's just something fun to do. It's mostly just me playing RPG games for fun and, you know, hanging out with people, with my listeners. Definitely an attachment to my podcast, but not really related, because I'm just playing games. I'm just hanging out. I also,
that's still something fun.
I also,
especially
want,
in time of COVID.
Yeah. I also want to get into voice acting myself, more leaning towards audiobooks than actual voice acting.
Yeah. Let's talk about the VA.
I haven't made any progress or attempts, honestly, just like people asking me to read lines for their podcast. That's the most I've done, which is fun because I never realized I'd get that far. So the latest one that I've done was at Plum Forest podcast, where he reads he basically rewrites classic Chinese stories for modern times, and then he asks different people to sort of act in it and sort of read it out, and then that's his podcast. And I love his podcast. It's just very chill. It's very relaxing to listen to.
Sounds interesting. There's so much out there.
Yeah,
with podcasts, really, that people are podcasting their passions and and or teaching, or, you know, there's just a ton out there. I had no idea. It's a huge massive.
This is the most
starting to learn that myself.
This is the most popular I've ever felt in my entire life. Like, I've never had
the way, happy birthday.
Thank you. It's your
birthday. Happy birthday.
It was my birthday 5 days ago, and it was so much fun.
Been on Twitter as much, and so I'm missing all the stuff. But it was
a lot of fun. I spent the day very chill with my husband, my parents. We went to the dog beach. We chilled out over there for a little bit, and then, you know, watched a little bit of movies.
Dog beach. Up.
What? We're going to the dog beach today? No.
Oh, funny.
But yeah.
So, do you want to do audiobooks? So, if you looked into the next step for, you know, doing the audiobooks, and
there is this website that my husband had found, and let me see if I can pull it up again. It's called, let me see. I have to pull it up because he sent it to me as a text message, because I told him that I was interested in like this eventually. And let's see. It's called acx.com, where basically, yes. Yeah. So, basically people can sort of audition for stuff, and I've been looking at it, I've been staring at it for like a couple of months now, and I haven't had the courage to like just start. So I wanted to have like a body of work that I could show. That's one of the reasons why I started the podcast, was just so I could have a body of work to show off as well. But yeah, I want to get into that. ACX is where the first thing I saw, and I wanted to see if I could, you know, interest some readers some authors into choosing me for their reader, for their audiobook reading. But yeah, that's basically opening that website is the first step, and I haven't done anything else.
That sounds like me. That sounds like me. That so sounds like me. That yeah, very much so. I've heard of the website. I've looked at the website for just I don't know, as an author looking at audiobook kind of things, and kind of, I think, in that way. And yeah, but I haven't. That's it. I looked at it.
Same. I opened it and I was like, that's interesting.
I think I subscribed or something, because I get an email every now and then, but you know, I don't know. I haven't looked at it since then at all. So.
Well, yeah. And I imagine like dealing with authors is a very unique experience.
What are you saying?
Well, I mean, every author is going to be unique in what they want or what they expect.
They can be picky.
Yeah, and then
you
want to be able to like meet the style that they want as well, because you can read the book and have your own interpretation of it, and then when the author hears your interpretation, they're like, oh wait, no, that's not what I want at all, don't read it like that. And I'm like, well, all right. So it's definitely an experience that I want to really be a part of. I don't want to, like, I think the audiobook reading is just as important as the you know, mm-hmm. to match what the author wants, because this is you're voicing, you know.
Well, yeah, you're going to be part of the project. You're going to be mm-hmm. part of the program.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. And it is. It is trying to meet what the author wants. An author usually has, most that I know of that I've talked to, have a vague idea of what the character sounds like and feels mm-hmm. like. And so then the inflection, I mean, it depends on the author, but some authors mm-hmm. can be really picky. You know, you want right. a certain accent, you want a certain inflection, you want, and right. if you get... depending on how much money the author has, you know, some of it.
Right, right.
Some of it, because it's a lot of work. I read stuff before and had stuff read for me, and just the amount of time that goes into it. And right. then they want you to, when you read the, I don't know if it's Audible. Who is it? Somebody, when the author gives you the work, they want you to give you back a finished product and not have any editing required in it.
Right.
Well, when you're reading for stuff, I know I've read my own stuff and different stuff. I mess up a lot.
Oh, yeah. when it comes to recording, it's the, I know my discussions get more listens. But that is like the easy recording, because like I know what I want to say. It's easy to, you know, to do. And sometimes I can ad lib. It's the chapter readings that takes forever for me, because I read too fast. I don't like how it sounds. So it's a lot of messing up with the chapter readings. And that's the one that takes the most time. Like I have to take a whole day just recording it, because, and it's only like 15 minutes. And I'm just like, why is it so hard? Why can't I pronounce, you know, appreciate today? And I would have to read appreciate like several times.
You can tell me you how many times I've pronounced words wrong, and then so I've listened to it back and I'm like much later because I didn't catch it. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
I thought
you pronounced it that way.
I always have how to pronounce up on my computer.
Do you really?
Yeah, oh, when I try to do it. I think I've forgotten how to pronounce. I don't want to say it. It's gonna sound stupid. Reggie, if I pronounce it wrong, you have to edit it out.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Do we have to? No, we won't. We will.
No, I'm trying to imagine, like, now I've completely forgotten how to pronounce the word, right? I'm trying to say it, and it's gonna sound stupid when I say it.
And
it's hippos, but like the first, the whole thing. Now I can't pronounce the whole word, because in my head it's gonna be hippopotamus, and I can't. That's not how you say that. That's not how you say that word.
Okay. Now, I'll give you some of mine. Mine, the wanton. I've yes. pronounced it wanton. Kafuni. Or cacophony has always been in my head. Cacophony.
I am keeping all of this. This is gold.
And there's some others that are reticent has been reticent forever. Oh, yeah. I still say it wrong. So I have some that I still say, you know, especially cacophony. I know it's cacophony. I've been told it's cacophony. It was cacophony for years. And so, it makes no sense. You know, phonetically, they don't even match. But in my, who cares?
So here's the thing. In the Philippines, right, comfortable is pronounced comfortable. That's how we say it. That's how we've always said it. And then I went to America and people are like, what are you saying? I'm like, what? I'm comfortable. That's what I am. And they're like, do you mean comfortable? And in my head now, before I say comfortable, I have to say it once or twice in my head. So it comes out comfortable, not comfortable. What I've been saying for like, you know, since from young to 20, I've been saying it as comfortable. And it's still
Comfortable sounds like the laziest Transformer.
Dude, it still sounds better to me than comfortable because it says all of the letters properly. Yeah. So comfortable just sounds like you coughed a little bit. Comfortable. No, that's what it sounds like to me. So, but yeah, that's
Wonderful. The other word that I pronounced wrong for years and years, it's a road in Portland. It's McAdam. Mm. And I called it macadam. I'm going to go on macadam and I take that way out to Lake Oswego. And people, what? Macadam, what? You know that? Oh, macadam.
Plenty of streets in Portland that can be mispronounced.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's not like click-a-tat or some kind of Indian name. Yeah. You know?
It's also... one of the things that I know that I mispronounce because I always say Canadian at my job, Canadian. So sometimes I would go Canada instead of Canada. And it's just, and people are like, what are you saying? Oh, I meant Canada, you know, where the Canadians are.
Where the Canadians are.
Canada. Okay, Reggie, you got to give us one. We know there's one you mispronounce. There's got to be. It can't just be us.
Yeah.
Come on, fess up.
There's got to be one. In your head,
I don't know because I got like Alloa, Hillsborough, Beaverton. I don't know. My side of town is, it's all really straight. Like, that's the name.
Well, that's a street or a place, but you know, I've heard you pronounce other people's names when you're not sure how to say them. So come on, there's got to be some word that you in your head forever read and then realized when you hit, you know, your 20s. Oh, I'm saying that wrong.
That's not right at all. We'll give you time to think about it. We'll give you time to think about it, but we'll circle back to it.
Yeah, we'll circle back. Give me a sec.
I know there's a word. There always is.
There's always a word. There's always a word. Especially if you're a reader, because you spent so much time reading that word and you only know that word through books. And then you heard somebody say it and you're like, oh, that's not how I say it in my head.
And you read that, you know, the Japanese stuff too and all of that. So you know that there's
Iso was mean to me.
You gotta think about it. We'll circle back. We'll circle back.
Yeah, we'll circle back. I'll find a word.
And now he's just looking at dictionaries and he's like, which one?
I'm just gonna make up a word and satisfy him. Satisfy these mean women. I mean, I put him on the spot all the time. I don't think he knew that. You should have known that. I've interviewed me before. You know, Reggie.
I know. I interviewed you.
You did, but you didn't put me on the spot. You were nice. You just let me talk.
I know. I was a nice guy.
I'm sorry. I can't return the favor. Oh my goodness. Yeah, the words and the reading aloud, that is an interesting thing, very definitely. So how did you two connect? I mean, Gliza, I met kind of through how did that happen? Reggie, how did you meet how do you know this?
I think we just met through Twitter. Yeah.
Wow, Twitter's amazing.
Just randomly.
I think you followed me on Twitter and then I followed you back and then I followed everybody else in the Six Sheets crew. And then it's funny because my podcast is like meant for high school, for like, it's very PG, like, you know, and then suddenly I had like a lot of, I want to say, interesting characters following me from Reggie's group from Six Sheets, and I'm just like, oh, I want to follow back to support, but also it's a lot of stuff flying in my face that I'm not really ready to, like, when I scroll on Twitter. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting scenario, just because now my timeline is very filled with very different people with different likes and dislikes and all that. And I have a lot of like comic book fans, I have a lot of movie fans, a lot of true crime fans, and then I also have a lot of like voice actors.
Yeah,
and
yeah, we have a really weird group that follows us. Which
and they
I'm
started
not...
following me, which is very interesting too, because I've learned a lot from them as well.
Yeah.
Oh, you're on the fun side of Twitter. What can I say?
Yes. I can see the fun, because sometimes there'll be like likes and there'll be retweets, and I'm scrolling through it and I'm like, oh, this is not safe for work.
Not at all.
So, that's pretty much all my podcast is.
So you probably got on and you found this connection like for Reggie, and then you followed him, and then his people followed you back and stuff. And that's part of the not safe for work kind of thing. When I first got on Twitter, I tried to break into like Romancelandia and with other more romancey authors, more mainstream authors, but I couldn't. They either are post and go, or I was just newbie on the block and there was no immediate
interaction.
There was no interaction and no retweeting and nothing. And so some of the first people I met, I talk about all the time, Johnny, was a guy who has an OnlyFans page, and his feed is full with stuff that I'm like, oh my gosh. And you know, but he was sweet and he was nice and he retweeted me that first week and was playful and kind, and it kind of spiraled from there. The kink community on Twitter was the most welcoming community that there was, and the most re-promoting. You promote there's not even really a requirement. They will just, if they like it, they retweet it. And there's not really the competition. I don't know what it is, but there's just it's a different community. So it's neat that I know that your podcast may be more safe for work, but
it's definitely something that I noticed, not just with the kink community, but with also with the podcasting community.
Yes,
I've been a part of like the photo. I'm also a photographer on the side. I write sometimes very, very small things, not really a thing. But I realized when I joined the photography community, they're just very, it's a competition. You want to be the best, and it's a very cutthroat. They don't want to help you. If you have questions, they're always like, this question has been asked, why don't you do a little bit of research? That kind of thing, that kind of response. But with the podcasting community, it's very different. It's very welcoming because podcasters are also listeners of podcasts. So they enjoy, basically, like, nobody's going to be like, okay, I'm listening to this podcast, that means I can't listen to your podcast anymore. My podcast quota has been met. it's just not there. So all of the podcasters that you become friends with also listen to your podcast. And then it's just a whole big community of just loving each other and welcoming each other and teaching each other how to become better. And this is like the most, sure, there are some weird ones that you're just like, you really shouldn't have a podcast because you're saying really weird stuff. but for the most part, everybody's been welcoming. Everybody's been great. Everybody's been supportive. And honestly, most of my followers are podcasters as well. And, you know, you just meet people that, you know, are interesting, and you see so many different topics that you never thought you'd be interested in until you listened to it in the podcast. And it's just awesome.
Yeah. What was I searching for? And I was like, there were some amazing just where they would take, it's not just movies, reviewing movies or reviewing books. It's some of the podcasters like reviewing, I can't even tell you. I can't, they were so niche, but they were so fun sounding. Mm-hmm. And I can't write and listen to a podcast. It's the same, but it doesn't work.
Yeah. You're doing great.
I start writing what, you know, what I'm listening to. So that doesn't work for me. So I don't get to listen to as much, but you're right. There is, it's an amazing variety that's out there and everything. And so where are you planning on taking your podcast in the next year? You've got Alice in Wonderland. You're winding that down. You've kind of stretching in other areas. I mean, what is your plan?
I'm actually getting ready for season two, which is I've talked, I haven't announced it on Twitter, but I have talked to people about it, and I have said that, you know, I'm going to study Agatha Christie this time around.
Oh yeah.
And I'm gonna be the dramatic readings would be focusing on Hercule Poirot. Her sort of Sherlock Holmes character, and I'm excited to do that because this time around it won't be it would be more short stories, because each episode would be a finished story instead of like Alice in Wonderland where it's a continuing story. So that's something that I'm excited about, because I've noticed that true crime is really popular. So it's sort of dipping my toe into true crime, but not really.
And that's
what I like about my podcast personally, because I will never run out of material. I will never reach a point where like, all right, there's no more classic books for me to read. There's just way too many. There's way too many for me to do. And I'm thinking of going to like a horror thing. And there's even erotica classic books that exist. And I'm just like, maybe I'll do a not safe for work version of my podcast eventually. But there's just so many to study, so many to look at and learn at that I do want to keep doing this. I don't see myself ever reaching a point where I'm like, all right, that's enough. I can't do this podcast anymore. And that for me is amazing, because every season is a new topic, a new revamp of my podcast. I'm actually working with my artist right now to get a new logo for season two, and I'm excited.
Oh, I love your Avi. It's so cute.
Yes.
So adorable. I wanted to ask, so I know that part of the podcasting came out of the wanting to read these classic books, but what said, oh, I'm going to read classic books and podcast it? I mean, where was that connection, you know, that one day you just woke up, I'm going to be a podcaster. It doesn't usually happen that way. I'm going to go buy a mic setup. And
it's actually funny how it started. My husband wanted to start streaming on Twitch. So he started like, and also on YouTube, like he wanted to play video games and that. And I was just like, oh, you're doing that. I'm kind of jealous. I want to do something. And that's how it started. I was just like, what can I do that involves a mic and recording? Because he has a mic and he's recording and I want to do stuff. I'm creative too, dang it. So that's how it started. That's how the thing entered into my mind. I actually wanted it to be more of a YouTube channel because of the artwork that I do. But the fact that it became more of a podcast and I have a podcast website just sort of started growing better. And my YouTube, even though I still publish stuff on my YouTube channel, the same stuff that I do publish, it's not as active as my actual podcast. You know, I mean, it's still I have, I think, 11 subscribers on it, or like 13 now, because it's the same thing. Like, some people prefer watching the videos. And the main thing that I really wanted to do with the podcast, other than, you know, doing the dramatic reading, was also presenting the artwork of a lot of people that I'm impressed with. Each episode actually showcases a different artist, and their interpretation of it. Like, if you go to my website, each episode has a different artwork on the album, album artwork or whatever, and it's different artists that I'm impressed with and showcases their art. It's basically an art gallery for me. You know, I feel like one of those medieval patrons that's just like, do this art for me and you do this art for me. And it just feels so fun to do that. I feel like a rich person.
Nice.
Like a rich medieval patron.
You have people you can ask for art. We need a talk. I need some artwork. I have character.
I'm surrounded by talented artists. My best friend, the one who made my avatar, she's amazing. My husband can draw as well, but he's more of traditional on paper pencil drawing. Mm-hmm. So it's very different. I have another best friend that's coming back actually from Korea, and she does a lot of watercolors. And my tattoo artist is my husband's nephew's life partner. So
if you know somebody who doesn't mind doing not safe for work some art, I have a book I would love to turn into a digital graphic novel.
I can ask them if they're interested. I think my tattoo artist would be interested in that, and I could connect both of you.
How many tattoos do you have?
How many tattoos do I have? I have three. I know. Every single time I get a tattoo, I'm like, this is it. This is the first time and the last time. I'm not gonna get any more. And then every time I'm on the table and getting the tattoo, I'm like, this is it. I can't do this. I hate. I'm also a pain baby.
Where are you getting them? I mean,
I
are they
know.
Really? You just stay away from the bone and the nerve, I hear that, and you know, they don't hurt that much. Where are you?
I'm getting them on my back. There's one on my back that's the most painful because it goes on my spine. And I have this one on my wrist here. It's a turtle with on top of books. And my husband was like,
did I see that? Did somebody share a photo with that?
So there is a photo of it flying around on Twitter. But
I think I've seen it. Yeah. I think we talked about tattoos and you shared it because it was a really neat one.
And the reason my husband was like, why turtle on books? And I was just like, I like reading books and I like turtles.
Like, why not?
Pretty good. But so far, my favorite tattoo is the one I have on my bicep. And it's basically a girl fishing on the moon. And
it's beautiful.
It's funny because I guess your listeners just won't be able to see it, but you guys can see it. I'll draw it when I'm, you know, as I'm talking about it. But when I was younger, even until now, there's this little doodle that I do, like on my notebooks, and I always do the same doodle every time. And I don't know why I do it. I don't know how I started doing it. Maybe because I watched a Pixar movie and that logo sort of just stuck in my mind forever. But this is basically the little doodle that I do. I don't know if you guys can see it.
Oh, I can see it. The moon.
So that's basically something that I doodle on all my college books, whatever, like I'm not paying attention to anything. That's what I doodle. And then I said to my tattoo artist, can you do something with this? And then she did this. And it's just so pretty, super not close to anything that I've ever drawn, but yeah, she captured the feeling of it. And this is my favorite tattoo, though I'm getting an update on my back tattoo. And I don't know why I'm doing it. I remember it very well that it was painful, but you know what? I wanted to get it bigger and like have a more a big, like the back tattoo is a phoenix with a silhouette of an 8-year-old girl, just because it represented the time that my whole family got into a house fire and how we all survived it, and I was at that time. So that's what that was, the phoenix tattoo.
Neat, very neat. Tattoos are so cool. They have so much meaning and everything. I'm gonna get one. My first tattoo.
I'm covered, so.
Yeah. It's funny because after the first, like your first one is like the most meaningful one. You're like, okay, this is the most, like I'm only gonna get a tattoo if it's meaningful. After the first one, you're just kind of like, well.
No, once you get enough, it's like, I don't give a shit anymore.
Like, I want that one. Because it's cute. Like, I'll take it.
Because
I have four planned 18th, actually, so we're good.
My 18th birthday, I actually skipped school and went to a tat shop and got a tattoo. Got a tattoo on my wrist.
Was it just getting the tattoo, or were you, you know, was it, you know, you were doing a meaningful thing?
No, it was a bass clef. So I played bass. So
there you go. Okay.
But yeah, I still have that. Well, that was my very first one.
You still have it? Aren't they permanent? Maybe I don't
understand. They're pretty permanent.
Yeah, they tend to stick around.
I mean, I know you can cover them up with other tattoos or take them off, and you know, it's scarring, but you know,
laser.
I thought they were pretty permanent. Oh my goodness. Too funny. Too funny. Well, Reggie, any more questions? I've been asking all the questions. I'm doing all the work here.
I'm letting you pull everything.
No, I'm like, go for it, dude. My interview style is very, you know, it just starts very organic, so it's when I just ask the next question that seems you know, natural. But
yeah,
I don't know about Reggie. He's too quiet. Come on, speak up, man.
I'm very quiet.
Are you looking at a list? I wanted to
No, I mean, we've covered everything I was thinking of. So.
Oh, good. Okay. So, Glyza, are you from Portland or are you from outside of Portland?
I am. I'm actually not a U.S. citizen. I am a recent immigrant that came here 3 years ago. My husband is from San Diego, born in San Diego, but he didn't grow up in San Diego. He grew up like in Florida. Now his family is over in Oregon. They've all moved up there. And that's why eventually my husband and I are going to move up there. You know,
because, that's why you were going to the big books.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm like, California is the first state I've ever lived in. You know, I love California. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the sunny weather. I know it's not going to be like that, and I'm slightly not looking.
Oregon is nothing like that.
Oh, but you have 3 months of pure sun in Oregon. You know, usually so much. You know,
usually, it's not, maybe it's, 3 months.
Come it's on. Not, global so, warming. Like, 3 months straight.
My husband is very into like nice sweater weather, you know, like the cold and stuff.
Oh, no.
And
I'm like, we got the comfy clothes.
I'm on the other hand, like, I'm a big summer girl. Like, I love the sun. I love being under the sun and here, you know, walking around and stuff like that. So that is definitely something I'm going to miss. But you know, it's funny because when when we first started dating, when my husband and I first started dating, it was actually online. We met online. My parents had already come to San Diego and they wanted me to come here. And so I was like, okay, cool. And I started up my OkCupid account to sort of just line up some dates when I got here. So he was one of the people that I talked to. And my plan to come, and you know, we started talking and we were there for like, we started talking on OkCupid for like 5 months, just like video chatting, all with the intention of that, I'm going to come here. And then my plan sort of fell through. I couldn't come here. So I told him like, hey, it's not happening. Be free, do whatever you need to be. And then I decided to go to Cambodia to become an English teacher there. And then what my husband did, my boyfriend at that time, what he did was he quit his job, and he bought a plane ticket to move to Cambodia. And we he stayed there for a year and a half with me, and he proposed there. We got we flew back here to San Diego to get married, but that for me was such a big move, that moving to Portland, like, just because I don't like the weather, is not going to stop me from moving to Portland, because he like left every, and he never asked for it, but like, I feel like, you know, tit for tat, it's my turn. Tat.
I can do this. You did this for me.
Right. So that was our beginning of our relationship was one of those things that apparently happens in movies and you rare to happen in real life, but he did it and I'm like, that's insane. But you know, I knew then, 5 months in, that this is the guy I'm probably gonna marry, because he moved all the way from San Diego. And this is a guy that's only been, the only other country he's been to was Mexico.
He was just that into you.
You know, I have to go.
When he quits his job and leaves like, his country.
It's funny because he didn't even tell his parents until he was leaving a week later. He told his parents that he was only going for a vacation, and then he took his parents for like breakfast, and then he said, and his mom was like, so when are you coming back for your, like, after your trip? A week later. And then he's like, oh, probably a year. And then and then his mom was like, what? Dude, his sister straight up thought he was gonna die. It was the funniest thing ever. But it was just so funny to me to think that, like, what must my in-laws think of me? Like, in the beginning,
you were this seductive woman.
Where his son just suddenly
tempting,
like,
his son out of the country.
I peace out. I'm gonna go.
You had totally manipulated. You were gonna kidnap him, take all of his. That's what my mom says. Don't talk to people online. They'll kidnap you and take all your money and bury you in a ditch. I'm like, what?
I'm just gonna stay quiet.
Don't talk to that wretch. No, she's like, don't talk to anybody. She's so funny. She's like, who are you talking to? Nobody. Friends. What friends?
You don't have friends. Wait,
I know, right?
I do have friends. How dare
you're not
you
supposed
fall
to have friends. So then she'll get on the phone with her friends. Who are you talking to, mom?
But it's definitely like, my in-laws love me. They're very happy that we met, and you know, but I can just imagine what they were thinking when we first started dating and he moved across the world.
Well, yeah, and you get a week notice to that too, and so
right.
He's like, he obviously must not have planned this. It's just a spur of the moment decision or something. I mean, there's a lot of preconceived notions that would be that you would speak into that, that you would just add on to that without
I think he was just worried that if we kept dating online, mm-hmm. Instead of in person, the relationship would sort of start to like die down. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame him. A lot of online relationships, you know, you got to work hard for it. A lot of like long distance relationships is difficult, and you have to really work hard on it. Especially since you don't get to see the person, you don't get to touch the person. It's very different. It's a very different dynamic. I would never wish long distance relationship on anyone. The first 5 months was like terrible. Like it was so much fun that, you know, that we were talking, but like it was lonely as well, because, you know, this is the person that you really cared about, and you're like, they're on the other side of the planet. And then you also have this idea of like, well, what if this relationship isn't real because you only met online? Like, how can you consider this a real relationship? And you have other people telling you that, you know, hey, you don't know this person. It's not a real thing. But I'm very much in the belief that if you really just be honest with the person, even if it's online, it's a real relationship. But for the first 5 months, it was really hard. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Don't do it. But, you know, Twitter is a terrible place to say. You can't say that on Twitter. There's so much. No. In fact, one of our shows coming up is going to. Oh, never mind. I'm not going to bring that up. you just have to listen. I just booked a guest for tomorrow that I'm really interested to talk to. Reggie, you better have lots of questions. No. Then you got to get up in front, or else I'll ask you questions because
you'll be the other guest.
Yeah, you're going to suddenly be the other guest. Well, have you done that, Reggie?
She's mean to me.
Oh, I'm so going to ask. You know, you better do a little research because I'm going to look.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it's going to be too hard not to ask. And then if somebody asks me, I'll be like, what? Oh, anyways, I'm sorry. All these vagueness. Thank you so much for coming on. I want to wrap this up before it gets too long, but I appreciate it. And telling me, hearing your story about how you got into podcasting, that's so cute. I want to do that too. And,
no deepness to it. I just like, I saw my husband get a mic and I was like, I want a mic.
Are you kidding? That's how I started. My kid had a mic and I thought, huh. I want to reach a different audience. Maybe I'll meet somebody new and I'll practice reading my story out loud for editing. And that'll be good too. And I'll just do that online. And so he had a microphone that he had gotten for some kind of streaming, not Twitch, but something else. And he wasn't using it. And I thought, how do you do that? And just plugged it in. And I'm like, okay, let's go. I still have no idea what I'm doing. So, you're better at that. You're like... But thank you so much for coming on, and
my pleasure.
Yeah, and Reggie, thank you for co-chairing.
But wait, the question, now we have to go back to it.
I don't know where I lost some of your audio there, Glyza. Yeah, Reggie,
the word. Now we have to like come up.
Yeah, she remembered. She's awesome.
I said we would come back to it, and now we're back to it.
Oh, god damn it.
Come on, Reggie. What's a word you pronounced wrong all your life?
Archipelago.
What?
Exactly, right?
Say it again.
Archipelago.
And what's the actual word?
The actual word is archipelago, I think. I don't know. Shit.
You did go to a dictionary.
Yeah, you guys fixed me.
I love it. That's wonderful. Oh, she's laughing so hard. I've always had an issue
with that one.
Did you go to a dictionary and it's one of the things I saw?
Glyza is freaking dying in the corner over here.
Yeah, we kind of lost your audio a little bit. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but she's absolutely having.
It's just me laughing. It's okay.
It's just you laughing. Yeah, but it's.
So yeah, there we go.
And we're keeping that in.
Oh, no, we totally are.
Okay, good.
I'll edit that in.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you so much. And you have a great day and go and get all the things done.
Yeah, it was so much fun having being here with you guys. And being
It always is. It's great to talk to real people, you know? Instead of my imaginary friends.
Thank you for joining.
Thank you so much. This says I'm going to go ahead and, oh wow, what is going on with my audio? Is it my?
Yeah, you just.
That just blew out of nowhere for no reason. This has been another episode with Reggie of Storytime. And we've gotten to hear Glyza's story, how she went from just deciding, you know, she needed to read new books, and then she was, or maybe she was going to podcast, and then what was she podcasting? I don't know. But she just made a choice to do something different, and it's kind of taken her life in a new direction, and she's growing and learning and sharing classic literature, which is just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I'm so grateful she came on today and that she's continuing to grow into her story. Every episode is about a story. So there you go. It's weird. I don't have the music when I close out on the other lives. I always have the music. And so it's odd, but
you should be able to add it.
Yeah. You add some background. It's I need a button. Beep. Da-da-da, da-da-da. Anyways, thank you guys. I'm gonna log out. Reggie, you do your magic on this audio, and we'll post it at some point in time. We'll let you know ahead of time.
Of course, yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.